Welcome to the StarNet 1 in 3 podcast. I'm Bridget Meese, an early childhood resource specialist with StarNet Regions 1 in 3, and I'm joined here today with Cecilia Mintz, another early childhood resource specialist. In this episode, we are going to interview Jackie Morphew about the changes that she has made to her large and small group times, so that academics are more of a focus during that small group time, and that the large group now focuses more on building that classroom community. Jackie, can you tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the changes that you've made by switching the academic-focused large groups into small group activities?
I really do like doing it as the small groups. I really think that the biggest thing I got out of doing it that way is that it feels less stressful. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that planning sometimes can, lesson planning can always be like, what do we do and how do we switch it up and how do we teach the literacy and the math concepts and, you know, fine motor skills and whatever at group. But the decrease in behaviors doing like large group as three small groups is the best, because when you have all of those kids on the carpet and you're trying to do a traditional large group, there's always going to be that kid that disrupts and bugs their neighbor, and you're always stopping to correct them and get them back on task. But then you've just lost the other kids and it takes 10 times longer, and now you've just wasted all of this time and you don't have a lot of time with the kids anyways. But if you do it as a small group, then I think all of the kids are more engaged at group time. And like, you're getting to know the kids more. Everybody can speak up, and you can much more easily adapt it to where they're at. You're giving them a smaller group, so it's not as overwhelming. And you can easily try to help build on the skills that they have and what do they need? Like, where do they need to go? So just kind of being able to really target and individualize and focus on all of the kids doing it that way. And I mean, I feel like you get to know all of the kids better. You get to really build that relationship and a rapport with them, because it's a small group. You can easily chit chat with all of them. Even if you get off topic, you're still having that connection with them, and they're all willing to talk and participate. Your quiet kids, your shy kids, who pretty much get shut out by the other children, the louder, those ones that are always willing to answer and jump up, you get to hear them. They're talking. They're answering the questions and they're participating, and they're not so shy to do it, because even if you ask them, oh, tell me what you think about this or what's going to come next or just whatever question you're asking, when there's, you know, 19 other kids on the carpet waiting for them to answer, they're going to just be like, nope, I got nothing to say. Like, they're too embarrassed to speak up. But they're not shy when there's 5, 6, 7 kids on the carpet. They're going to speak out. They're going to participate.
Well, it sounds like you get to be a little bit more intentional in the way that you plan your groups then, because you know where each child is at. So that's got to also help with observations that you have to do as well, right?
Yes. I think it makes it so much easier for that portfolio collection, because you can gather that information that you need for it, but also you're planning based on what the kids need. So
it's really individualized for them.
Yeah. It's individualized for them. And
that helps with your lesson plan too, because you're supposed to be individualizing for 25%, right?
Yes.
The kids. So it's kind of already built in with your small group.
Right. Yeah, it is. It really helps with a lot of that. And I feel like you're more productive with your time, because 2.5 hours goes way too fast when you're trying to fit everything in. And so when you can be more productive in your time by kind of doing large group and small groups at the same time. So the kids that are on the carpet, you know, they're doing that, what, traditional types of concepts for it. You're counting, you're doing the alphabet, you're talking about the weather, maybe doing some patterning. You're doing some of that basic stuff that we still like to try to teach those concepts at carpet time. But then you're able to like break it down more, do name recognition, do sounds, do letters in that small group. Talk about your study, your theme, your unit, whatever, like big idea that you're doing in the classroom. You still have time to talk to those kids about that and teach them something about a new topic. But it's also, you can explain it at a lower level for those younger kids that may not understand it, but really elaborate a little bit more for those older kids who get it. And the questions you ask and what you're trying to pull and teach is based on developmentally what they're able to do. And then you've got the kids at the tables, which is so helpful because you can really focus on things like you've got the TA doing academic or other kinds of concepts at the tables with the kids, even some turn taking, you know, anything that they really need. And then you've got an independent group working. So that's also one of the biggest challenges is trying to always make sure you have something that the kids can independently do at the table, like very minimal teacher support, like explain the activity and then they need to be able to do it. So sometimes finding tasks that they can do independently can be a struggle, and it can, you know, the different groups can vary, or even year to year, class to class, you think, oh, this was a pretty good activity. These kids, you know, last year did it. And then you try it again. You're like, this group of kids has not able to, to do it. So it's been like a learning process. Cause sometimes I think, oh, surely they can do this sorting task together, you know, and it'll just be a mess. Like they don't get it. So sometimes at that point, it's like back to the drawing board of, you know, okay, do we need to reteach that activity better at the teacher-led small group and then let them go back to independently doing it? Or is this just not an activity that they can be successful in independently? What else can we do? So finding those tasks can sometimes be tricky. But then sometimes it's fun to just give them art supplies and just, you know, take that 10 minutes and do some kind of art, drawing a picture or, you know, just creating something, especially for those kids that don't go a lot, it's them to use those materials, or just giving them a tub of toys, maybe something that's not typically out or hasn't been out for a while. And they either have to build or they have to, you know, lace the beads or string them or just, I mean, there's so much that they can do. But even just getting them to socialize with their peers at the independent table with the toys and all that they need to do with that.
That's a neat way to introduce that new material too, because it gives them that time that they need to explore something new without having to do it in a certain way.
Yeah, and then they can not fight over it as much because they've all had the chance to experience it first. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, like you said, that does eliminate a little bit of the kids that become, I love this toy, I want it. But if you give everybody a chance to play around with it, then you're kind of sharing that and yeah, introducing new things to them.
So I also wanted to take a minute and go back to when you were talking about the skills you were doing at the carpet with that large group, the large group focus of the small group.
Right.
I would have to think that it would also eliminate some of the wait time for the children that you would typically have in a large group. I know you've mentioned before that it cuts down on some of those behaviors, but there's also a lot of wait time as children are waiting for their turn. So by doing this as a small group, you're really essentially being able to not only meet the needs of the children at the carpet better, but you're also taking out some of that downtime and being more intentional in how you're giving children something productive to do during that time.
Yeah, for sure. Because there's less kids, it's it is easier to take the time to ask those things where you need each kid to answer. And like I said, I really feel like that makes them speak up more if they are ones that tend to not want to speak up. But yeah, I think it goes faster and it's smoother because, like you said, the kids aren't waiting. They're getting to interact and participate so much more. And I always have them sit right in front of me, like that row on the carpet that's literally right in front of me. So you're not far away. Like when you've got all the kids on the carpet, obviously some of them are much farther away from you. So it's even harder to get some of that interaction. But when they're right up in front of you and you could almost practically like touch each kid with your hand, they're in like arm's length, you can get that better interaction. Like they're close to you, like they can see what you're doing. And it just brings everything together where then they probably feel more a part of the group.
I was going to say, probably that makes them feel more included and that it's going to engage them more because they're more vested when they feel like they're seen.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why, but that probably helps with the decrease in behaviors too, because they're everybody's right there. You don't have those other kids to extra kids to bother and you're not, you know, because those kids are usually farthest away from the teacher that are the ones that are like gonna touch their neighbor or get into something. But if you're all right up there with the teacher, it's so much easier to be engaged. You're not going to, you know, feel that need to be like, oh, I'm bored and then cause the behavior. So all around, I think it decreases the behavior, the teacher's connection with the kids, and you're more productive with your time and your teaching. Like it is more intentional teaching, more individualized teaching because you're breaking it down for the kids.
Well, like Bridget mentioned, if that wait time, that if you look at classrooms and you look at where we lose the most time with children, it's the wait time, the wait for the bathroom, the wait for washing the hands, wait for the bus, whatever they're waiting for. Even when we are intentional, we plan activities to fill those minutes. With this, you're going to have a lot less of that because like if you're reading a book and you have a question and you want, everybody wants to say something, it's going to take much longer to get through 20 kids than it is five or six. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when we think about it, if you're doing a large group, really only about a third of the students are able to focus at a time anyway, depending on the topic and interest of what you're covering. So when you break that down into three small groups of children and you're really intentional about organizing what you're teaching them, you're able to reach all of those students instead of the two-thirds that are distracted or the contents above or below where they are developmentally. So it really helps that you're able to do that large group concept and really tailor it down to the needs of each child.
Yeah, and it's just, it works so much better and it goes much faster and smoother because you're not wasting all that extra time and losing the kids and having to bring everybody back. It's easy because you're like, okay, just you guys on those, you know, seven kids on the carpet. We're going to be able to quickly get through what we need to, you know, they're still getting everything that they need that, you know, the large group on the small group in that small setting where you're able to target the kids, they're getting a teacher directed, you know, academic or whatever kind of concept at the table and they get that independent station. Mm-hmm. And to still do like a large group songs, dance, you know, maybe a story where all of the kids can get involved in it. So there's still that like large group carpet time where everybody can sing with us or do a story or dancing. But that crucial time of breaking down how to teach those concepts in the small groups has just been so much better. I think it is less stressful and you feel more productive and not like you're just wasting all of this time. You're able to like meet the kids' needs and, you know, teach more successfully.
Well, and you're still getting that. I know a lot of times when I've mentioned this method, people think I'm nuts, but you're still getting that large group. You're not giving that up. I know that's something, it's a mindset shift because a lot of people don't want to give up that large group. And large group is vital for building community, but this allows you to still be able to do that as well as get those skills in that you're trying to do that just don't work in a large group.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like we all still try to do small groups anyways, because we want to individually like target sets of kids with a certain concept, but that's always hard to fit into your schedule. And then it just felt more overwhelming trying to plan all of this extra stuff and stressful trying to make sure you could cram it all in. But then, you know, like, and I'll admit, I was a little pushing back at first too, because I think the mentality, especially when we're in school at the time, was taught like you do large group and then you do small groups. And so your day was like planned out, you know, you do large group, you do centers, you do your gross motor time, and you got to do small groups. Well, that all sounds good in theory, but when you're actually in the room with the kids, that's not how it works. And like I said, once I got started doing it, I was like, oh my God, this is so much easier. It's less stressful. Planning is better. I'm getting more out of the kids. I think the kids are actually really enjoying the group rotations. So like everybody's happier, less stressful. The time is being used so much better. And you're kind of targeting both. Like you said, Bridget, on the carpet, those kids, they're still getting that, you know, large group time. You're doing the alphabet, you're doing the weather, you're counting, you're patterning, you're doing whatever those concepts you would do, but all the kids are engaged and you're kind of getting a feel for what the kids are actually able to do. And then they're getting that small groups at the tables, you know, those kinds of activities. So you're getting it all done at one time.
So really you're less stressed. The children get more out of it. It helps you with your lesson planning. It helps you with your assessment observations as well as your portfolio collections. Do you see any downsides to doing the large group as small groups?
No, I don't. Because, I mean, I guess the only real challenge is just knowing what your group of kids can do independently at that table. So, you know, usually when I first introduce it, I am just doing simple tasks like here's a tub of toys, play with it, or here's some beads, here's some lacing cards, string them, just so they get kind of a feel for how the groups go and being at that table. But then once you kind of get to know your kids, you realize like, what are they able to do independently or what aren't they? And, you know, we're always trying to figure out our kids anyways. So that's probably the biggest struggle. But other than that, like there's nothing negative about it. It's more positive and is probably beneficial for everybody. And like I said, with those, you know, IEP kids, large groups can be overwhelming for them. Too many kids on the carpet, too much happening. And any of those kids with some sensory issues, they're gonna push back more. But if you can do it in a smaller large group, you may be able to get them to participate and not feel so overwhelmed. And then you're making them feel a part of the group. And if we want all of the kids to feel a part of the group, that's important.
Do you do this in a blended classroom as well as your self-contained classroom, or is this something you only do in your blended classroom?
This was something that I've just done in my blended classroom. When I've done the self-contained, we didn't have very many kids, so it was easy to just, it would only just be like the five kids on the carpet anyways. And then we would do more individualized task time. So it's one-on-one work with those kids. But if you had enough kids, I'm sure you could really get it to work in a self-contained room so that you're only having four or five kids on the carpet and you're still able to really target their needs and get them to participate in the activity. But I think it's great for a blended classroom where you've got a whole varying degree of kids and, you know, developmental levels, and it just really works for everybody. Even just if you only have 20 at-risk kids, it's awesome, because 20 kids in a room we know is a lot, even with just two teachers. So if you can break up the group and get the kids in smaller groups and get them to move around, then again, everybody's going to benefit from it.
Well, it sounds like it really allows you to build those relationships. Like you said, they're in the smaller group. They're more engaged with you. You learn their likes and dislikes and interests a lot better that way than you would if you're talking to 20 of them at the same time.
Right. And you can allow for that more off-topic chat. Yeah. You can be like, sure, you can share this with me because you don't got all of those other kids on the carpet waiting while this kid has to share something that has nothing to do with what you're talking about. So it is a lot easier to be like, sure, you want to say something off topic, share it with us, you know, or especially when you're doing that group rotation while you're waiting for all the kids to, you know, get to the new spot. Like those kids that are coming to the carpet, they can start talking to you and, you know, have that few minutes to chat while everyone's getting situated and then you can start. So it really does. And I definitely noticed that the quieter, shy kids who wouldn't speak up if you asked them anything with all of the kids on the carpet were willing to talk and participate and answer during the small group. So then it's like, oh, you really do know this. Because before I would just been like, well, I don't know if they don't know it or they know it, but they don't get a chance to say it. So you really get to know what do they know or build that connection with those kids. And I've had a little boy before where he had some rough behaviors, but us doing that small group, he really cut down on those behaviors. And it liked that time on the carpet where he could sit in front of me with a few other friends. And whenever we were done, he could still sit and have that time with me. So it really impacts all of those kids because it does help you build that relationship with them. And then that spreads throughout the rest of your day. Like you've made that connection, you've shown them, I care about you even more. Like we already do that, but like even more, you can like be like, I've made that connection with you. You are important to me. How can I help you? And then that spreads through the rest of your day with your children.
Well, and it helps the children build relationships with each other. Because sometimes they're going to be in groups with kids that they typically wouldn't be in the same center with, or they wouldn't typically choose to play with. And they're going to be in that small group and have that opportunity to get to know each other better. So that also contributes to that just overall classroom community and climate that it sets up for your classroom.
Right. Yeah. Just letting those kids be able to socialize and interact with all of their peers in a different way is helpful because, yeah, then they will make that connection with each other.